Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yahweh is the only savior of the world. And I thank Most High for allowing us to come before you once again to bring to you another program of nothing but the truth. Once again, tonight we'll be dealing with the judgment of 12, but part 2. And what's so important about 12? As we learned last night, 12 represents the Creator's people. Oftentimes, when he's talking about our people, he don't even mention a number, because he made it crystal clear what our names and the number of our names represent. And here it is, we in the 12th month of the second year, the second day of the 12th month, which is really, really important to know. And I know many of our people today, they also might be in the 12th month, but many of them still are off track. A lot of our people go by things that are not mentioned in the scriptures. And all you have to do, the scriptures teach us the ending. Better is the end of a matter than the beginning. And oftentimes when you start off the wrong way, and it looks good, it sounds good, you think it's correct, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Here it is, many of our people who go by the moon, they start off right, seemingly, but then they will end up with months that's not even mentioned in the scriptures, that don't even represent the very people of months are supposed to represent. And 13 don't represent Yahweh's people. That's like having 13 numbers on a clock. What clock? Have you ever seen that type of clock? No, you have not. Nor have we. And there is no 13 months in the scriptures. And the reason why this is important, not because some differences some brothers have, we all have differences with one another. The reason why this is important is because you would think 12 has no meaning at all, no significance at all, but it has great significance to Yahweh. And you're going to see in his word the great significance that it has. Stated before, oftentimes Yahweh will mention the children of Israel without even mentioning their number, for example. And you're going to see why this is so important. In the book of Exodus, the 30th chapter, and this is what it says in 11 verse. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, when you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, well, what is the number of the children of Israel? That's something that is very important. Why? Because what we're reading right now is the law. This is the law. So it's very important to understand what that number is. Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Yahweh, when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. And oftentimes, as I stated before, all through the scriptures, you will read scriptures in the law that tell you to do exactly this thing. Watch it in the book of Deuteronomy 32, just so you can see. And undoubtedly, the reason why this is written like this, because Yahweh wants you to know who is the apple of his eye. Watch what it says. In the book of Deuteronomy 32, the 7th verse, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people, and Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. But what is this number? What is this number? It's important to Yahweh. Yahweh had this in his law. And should not we understand the significance of this number? Since by law we should know it and then understand exactly what it means. Watch this. In the book of Numbers, the first chapter, still dealing with the law. And what are we speaking about? The judgment of 12. You don't even have to mention it. All you need to know is the law. And if you know the law, you will know how significant this is. Watch what it says. The very first verse in Numbers, the first chapter. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their heads. And who is this? What number is that? Who were the heads? By their number, by their tribes, by their family. This is the law. And do we know the law? Do we know the significance of the law? Now, if we know the significance of the law, whether Yahweh is speaking about the 12 pillars that's mentioned in the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. Whether Yah is speaking of the 12 whales that our people seen when they came out the wilderness in the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. Whether it's talking about the 12 months mentioned in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter. What do you think this represents? Whether it's talking about the 12 that you see on the clock for each hour of the day, and then each hour of the night. It all represents Yahweh's people. And Yahweh has his people represented in all these various ways. But what Yahweh is looking for is when we represent him. And right now, we're in the 12th month of the second year. Is anybody recognizing the significance of this 12th month? We showed yesterday one of the officers over the 12th month was a man named Heldai, the Hebrew name Keldai, which means worldliness. Why? Because Israel is the salvation of the world. And 12 is this revolution that everybody revolve around. Still dealing with the law. Let's look at the law. Judgment of 12. In the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. Now watch what it says. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually outside the veil of the testimony. In the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order from the evening to the morning before Yahweh continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon a pure candlestick before Yahweh continually. And watch what it is. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before Yahweh. And you shall put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him are the offerings of Yahweh, made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Don't you see how important this 12 is? 12 cakes, 12 stones, 12 pillars. And of course, as you know, 12 months. And if you are marking your months by something that will produce anything other than 12, then all you got to do is open up your scriptures and show us where something else other than 12 was produced. And, of course, you can waste your time if you want to, because you're not going to find it. All you're going to do is find a bunch of lip service. You're not going to find where it represents Yahweh. Watch this in the book of 1 Chronicles 27. Still talking about the judgment of 12. And we're in the 12th month. The very first verse, now the children of Israel, after their number. What number is that? Is it important to you? Well, it's very important to Yahweh. It's all in the book. To know the chief fathers and captains, thousands and hundreds, and the officers that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year. Of every course were 24,000. Now, is this a truth or a lie? And most people will tell you this is a lie or this is not complete. Well, if it's any other number that represents the children of Israel, then what is it? And I'm here to tell you, there is no other number that represents the children of Israel. None. Zero. This is it. And ask yourself, why aren't you representing the children of Israel? And the Creator said this in the book of Jeremiah 23. The judgment of 12, because we're in the 12th month. Why wouldn't we talk about 12 since we're in the 12th month and what it means and what it represents and how Yahweh see it? In the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, a lot of times we get questions that people really don't want to know the answer to. But watch what it says anyway. The 16th verse. Thus says Yahweh, folks. Listen not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. In other words, the things that they're telling you, it has no meaning at all. It's meaningless. Why? Because it'll tell you why. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They telling you about things that Yahweh never said. Yahweh never spoke. And you will never, ever find it in Yahweh's word. They say, steal unto them that despise me. Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. And they said unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. In other words, people who serve Yahweh with lip service, but not serve Yahweh by his word. That's what Yahweh's looking at. He's looking at people who serve him through his words. But watch this 18th verse. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh and has perceived and heard his word? Who's done this? And watch this. Who has marked his word and heard it? There it is. People talking about, well, how do you mark the months? By marking Yahweh's word. That's how you mark the months. How do you mark the years? By Yahweh's word. Yahweh never told nobody to mark no moon. He told you to mark his word. And this is the one thing our people don't want to do. Behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh has gone forth to fury. Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. And in the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. And what days do you think we in? The latter days. And we're going to show you why this is very important to mark. Here it is. We in the 12th month, which is the month before our new year. And we know what happens in our new year and the various things we have to do in the new year, in the first month of the year. The first month of the year is called Abib. Here it is. We got brothers talking about we're going to be a winter and all that. We ain't never been in the winter. We never got a season. And nor do our dates fluctuate from 30 days to 15 days to 20 days to 19 days from year to year. That don't even exist in the scriptures. But yet, because of our enemies, these are the type of things our people are doing today. But since we're going to mark Yahweh's word, and since we're in the 12th month, and since 12 represents the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, isn't it also important to understand and know Israel actually mean? Since Yahweh will put 12 sons, 12 tribes together, what is the significance behind that? Let's mark his words so we can see. Since this number is after the number of the children of Israel. And watch what this says. Something else that a lot of people don't want to do, even though the scripture is to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And look what Yahweh prophesied concerning the 12 tribes of Israel, since we're talking about the judgment of 12. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant, first verse, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you, O Yaakov, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. And what is this blessing that Yahweh is prophesying that he's going to pour on offspring? This spirit that he will put in our seed. Watch what it says. Four verse. And those who have this blessing in our spring, those that have the spirit upon their seed, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. In other words, they're going to start springing up. And this is how you know they're going to be springing up. And this is what they will do. To have his spirit upon their seed, his blessing upon the offspring. Fifth verse. One shall say, I am Yahweh's, and another call himself by the name of Yaakov, and another shall subscribe, which means to write, with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. Now do you see the blessing that's supposed to befall the offspring of the people of Yahweh in a certain time? Do you see the spirit supposed to be poured upon the seed of Yaakov, his servant, whom he have chosen? Yes, they were surnamed. And what is a surname? Little do people know it. A lot of times when our people, many of our people, they will name themselves after tribes and so forth, and so, which is okay. That's good too. But then there will be some that will go a little bit further, and they will take hold and write in their hand unto Yahweh and surname himself Yisrael. And what's a surname? Literal people know a surname is a family name. People ask you, what's Israel? What does that mean? Where did that come from? I hear people, I get that from the Bible. Or I get that from this. And I get that. That's a family name. That's your family name. Huh? That's your father's name. That's your surname. And your surname is your family name. How do you think we're called Israelites? Because this is our family name. So every time the scriptures talk about the children of Israel, after their number, which is 12, represent our family. Thus is Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no Elohim. There's no Elohim but Yahweh. And there's no other Elohim called and named his people as he named us. Let me show you that. And right before I show you that, watch this in the book of Isaiah 45. I just want you to see how much Yahweh really love you. Watch what it says, the fifth verse, or the fourth verse. Matter of fact, let's just start at the first verse. Thus is Yahweh to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I've held, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, and to open before him the two levy gates, and the gate shall not be shut. Because this is who he anointed to release our people during the time of Babylon. And I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut down the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, Yahweh, which call you by your name, am the Elohim of Yisrael. He wants you to know this. Israel don't represent no one man or no one tribe or no two tribes. This represents 12 tribes. For Yaakov, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. Not only I've called you by your name, I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. And we got many people still don't know Yahweh. And we got people who pretending to know Yahweh and still have not taken back their family name. And then we got those who don't even understand what the name meant. Because if they knew what the name meant and what it means, man, this is something you want to. I was like digging up a hole and finding a bag full of money. Because that's what you find when you understand the meaning of this great name. Watch what it says. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. Yes. Yahweh do these things. Yahweh made these things. Yahweh formed these things. Yahweh created these things. And who will Yahweh do? Who will Yahweh use to do his bidding? Well, his servants, his people. And how many servants do he have? 12. And what are they called? The 12 tribes of Israel. And where did that name come from? And what do it mean? Well, let me show you exactly what it means and what it represents. Undoubtedly, our people don't know its meaning and what it actually represents. And watch what it says in the book of Genesis 32 so you can see for yourself. And why there's many people who's fulfilling this prophecy as we speak. And yes, it is prophecy, but everybody ain't going to fulfill it, and everybody ain't thinking about fulfilling it or doing it. And they ain't even interested. They don't mind being called Israel among their people, but they don't want nobody else to call them Israel. Watch what it says. Genesis 32. We're going to start at the 24th verse. And Yaakov was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Yaakov's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then now we just read that Yahweh will pour the Spirit upon your seed. Yahweh will pour his blessing upon your offspring. And this is that blessing. The blessing is in the very thing you don't even want to represent. And that's your name. And the name that you're not representing is made up 12 tribes. Watch what it is. And he said to him, what is your name? Because he's about to bless him. And he said, Yaakov. And he said, your name shall be called no more Yaakov, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with Elohim and with men, and have prevailed. In other words, you're nothing without your name. The power the blessing. The spirit is in the fact that you got a blessed name. And all through the scriptures, it shows you the power of our people who wear, who represent this great family name. You think Yahweh is going to pour this on somebody who refused to wear this name, who refused to acknowledge this name, who don't want to go out and use his name amongst everybody? Then I don't care, Yahweh. Be glorified. And how do you think Yahweh will be glorified if they don't even know that you're Israel? They don't even know you're an Israelite. And they don't even know, and your name don't even represent Yahweh, Yahweh's family. And we know this is Yahweh family. Watch what the scripture says in the book of Amos, the third chapter. Here it is. We're in the 12th month. And the 12th month don't mean nothing to nobody. It's just a 12th month. Or the 12th moon or whatever y'all want to call it. But 12 means a whole lot to Yahweh. Watch what it says. In the book of Amos, the third chapter, how you mark your months. Brother, how do you mark the word of Yahweh? Because if you mark the word of Yahweh, as it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, who has marked my word and heard it? Then you will know how to mark a month. That's very simple. In the book of Amos, the third chapter, the very first verse, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, watch the second verse, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And what's your family name? Israel. Yisrael. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And we got a lot of iniquities. Among us. Furthermore, to show you it's only one name that Yahweh even made, called upon, chosen, elected, and designed to bring glory to him. And it's not the name that our people wearing today. Let me show you the name in the book of Isaiah 49 so you can see for yourself the name that Yahweh loves. He said, I named you even though you didn't even know me. In the book of Isaiah 49, watch what it says. The very first verse. Listen, O isles, unto me. And listen, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. Here we go. Dealing with a name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hidden me and said unto me, you are my servant, O Yisrael, in whom I will be glorified. See, Yahweh is going to be glorified in Israel because he named him. Because He surnamed him. He called him after his name. And what do his name represent? The 12 tribes of Israel. And what do that name mean? A prince. That's a name of a prince. A prince that has power with Elohim and men and has prevailed. In other words, Israel conquers. Israel prevails. Israel wins in the end. Israel overcome. I know they've been trying to keep us down for 400 years, but Israel is rising back up, even though most don't even see it. And typically, most don't see it. And the reason why they don't see it is because they're not even looking for it. But let me show you, when Israel rises up, little do people know, the Almighty said, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And oftentimes, Yahweh will bring about things at a time for signs and for seasons. And let me show you, the signs and the seasons and the days and the years that Yahweh would do to Jacob had taken on his great name Israel. Who would rise up after this name was manifested, after this name was taken hold to, after this name was born, who will Yahweh rise up to demonstrate the power of this great name? Let me show you so you can see with your eyes. The book of Genesis. One thing you will know, one thing you don't even have to assume, is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Watch what this says in the book Genesis 41. And watch what it says. In the book of Genesis 41, and we're going to start reading at the 32nd verse. Let's start there. Well, let's start at the 29th verse. Or 28, because it's at the beginning there. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. Genesis 41 and 28. What Elohim is about to do, he shows to Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look at a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And watch what it says. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? Who is that? Even though our people is not looking for a man whom the spirit of Elohim is, they're not looking for that. They're not looking for no man, period. They're looking for Yahweh. Not even looking for a servant. Not even looking for Israel or one of the 12 tribes. They looking for Yahweh. But even the Egyptian was looking for a man with the spirit of Elohim. They knew Yahweh wasn't going to be there. And watch what it says. 39 verse. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, for as much as Elohim has shown you all this, in other words, he done shown you all these things, man. There is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all the people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Yosef's hand, array him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in a second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Now, do you see what it means when the scripture says a prince that has power with Elohim and man, and has prevailed? Because here it is, the first man that represented this power as Yahweh will have it to be. Yes, he named Jacob. But as you can see, this blessing poured upon the offspring, the seed of Jacob. And when did this take place? Because Joseph, he already been having dreams, but he never rose to this. All his dreams did put him in jail. His dreams separated him from his brothers. They hated on him. His dreams all the way up until this very time had not brought him anything good until now. But when is now? Well, if you read the very first verse, Genesis 41, it will let you know when now was. And it came to pass. At the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. In other words, at the end of 2 years. And brothers and sisters, what do you think we're at? We're at the end of 2 full years. We're in the 12 months, so we're not at the very end. But we're at the end of 2 full years. We're in the last month of the second year, going into the third year, in which Joseph, a man of Elohim, was rose up, as Yahweh said they would spring up by the willows of the way, by the watercourses. But who out there in the community of Israel is looking for a man whom the spirit of Elohim is amongst the 12 tribes of Israel? Now you see why the 12th month is important? Because as you go into another year, you don't really realize what you're going into and the significance of what you're going into. It don't even have to be another year. It can be the third generation. It can be the third month. Watch this. I just want you to see this in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. So you can see, or not Exodus, the 12th chapter, but Exodus, the second chapter. And watch what this is. Very first verse. And there went a man of the house of Levi, took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, and bore a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. What made him a goodly child? And why did she think her child was better than the other children that were being thrown in the river? But she saw something, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. And after hiding 3 months, just like Joseph rose up in the third year, at the end of 2 full years, after 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him from an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child there, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flag, she sent a maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you the nurse of the Hebrew woman, that you may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went, called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moshe. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And when did all this happen? After 3 months. And of course, as you know, he rose up as the greatest prophet that ever lived, that Yahweh knew face to face as a man speaking unto his friend. Why? Because prince, this man was a prince. Power with Elohim and man. And has prevailed. From the tribe of Levi, Joseph was from the tribe of Yosef. He was the father of that tribe. And all through the scriptures, you will see Yahweh will rise these great people at a certain time For example, in the book of Esther, let us turn there. Seeing that we are in the 12th month, how many people, how many teachers are talking about Esther? This great Israelite whose name is Hadassah. And when did Yahweh call her for her to be rose up? In the book of Esther, it will clearly, plainly let you know that she was the instrument that Yahweh will use to save his people. Savior. In other words, Yahweh used her hands. Watch what it says. In the book of Esther, the first chapter, the very first verse. Then it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from Eden even to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, and watch this third verse, in the third year of his reign, the second year, the 12th month. And here we're reading about the third year. But why? Because Yahweh is about to do something that only a prince can do. Watch what it says. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the prince of the province being before him. The riches of his glorious kingdom, the honor of his excellency, majesty many days, even 104 days. I may add, 104 days is 180 days. And what's 180 days? 6 months. Now, how do I know that? What do you think? 6 times 30 is? There's only 30 days in a month. Months later, that's 104 days. This is why you got to go by the scriptures and not by some faulty science that our people have been tricked on. 29 days here, 28 days there, 31 days another time, and none of these measurements are in the scriptures for a month. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast to all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both to great and small, 7 days in the court or the garden of the king's palace, where were white and green and blue hanging, fastened with the cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. Beds were of gold and silver upon pavement of red and blue, white, black, marble. And they gave them drink in the vessels of gold, royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compare. In other words, they weren't like a bunch of college students. They weren't like this Judge Kavanaugh, who admitted that he was a drunkard, and they put him on the Supreme Court. And not only he was a drunkard, he was a man that abused women, raped women. But not so here. They knew better. They didn't compel. And they did it according to the law. For so the king had appointed to all officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Everything she had belonged to her husband. You can't tell her that, but it did. On the seventh day when the harlot king was married with wine, he commanded Mehuman and Bertha and Habana, Bigtha and Abakta, Zithar and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very angry, and his anger burned in him. And I can comment all day long on this, but I ain't going to comment. We dealt with enough. What a woman is made for, but no, we just leave it there. 13th verse. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times. And why come our people don't know the times today? What's so difficult about the times today? For so was the king manner to all that knew the law and judgment. Because to know the times, you got to know the law and judgment. And next to him was Karshina and Shita, Amata, Tarshi, Merez and Marcina and Mamukin, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and was set the first in the kingdom. What shall we do to the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she has not performed the commandment of the king of Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Mamukin answered before the king and princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad to all women, so that they shall despise their husband in their eyes, and when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day to all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Now I can see that. She didn't go before the king, so why I got to come before you? He's the king. If it pleases thee, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti comes no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate to another that is better than she. Why this is so vitally important, because King Ahasuerus had 127 provinces. He had women all through these provinces of all kinds of backgrounds, races, colors, ethnicity, languages. Guess who he found to be the most virtuous of them all? Not the Chinese and the Japanese, not the Ethiopians or the Egyptians or the Assyrians, no. Not the Amalekites or the Canaanites, not the Indians. The one that he found to be virtuous, the most virtuous, the most beautiful of them all, was an Israelite. And here it is, our foolish men will go try to find somebody else and prop another woman up. Especially these foolish athletes and entertainers, they look the foolish. But they don't know who they are, so I can understand why they look so foolish and act so foolish. But then we have Israelites who are supposed to know who they are and supposed to have power as a prince of a prince, or a prince that has power with Elohim and man and has prevailed, and they will go get something less than them. What kind of sense do that make? People who don't even know the Lord Yahweh. Women who Yahweh has told our men, the greatest of our men, that don't take their women and don't give your sons to be their husbands and your daughters to be their wives. For surely they will turn your heart away from him. And all through the examples, this is what we have seen. And why do they dislike our people anyway? Because the power that Yahweh has endowed in us. Watch this in the book of Esther, the third chapter. The seventh verse. Just want you to see this. And don't forget, when she was rose up in the third year. Why the third year? Here it is. We're at the end of 2 years right now. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month. That is the month of Adar. And we're in the 12th month right now. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king to profit to leave them. In other words, our people didn't keep the laws of the lands. As many of our people try to tell you, we can't keep the law in captivity. And we see all kinds of scriptures that tell you we kept the law in captivity. Matter of fact, we're about to be destroyed from keeping the law in captivity. If it pleases the king, let it be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Gagagite, the Yehudanite's enemy. And the king said to Haman, the servant is given to you. The people also do with them as it seems good to you. And when did they want to kill these people and destroy these people? In the 12th month. And we're in the 12th month. Let's see how many people will acknowledge. Let's see how many Yehudanites will acknowledge this victory, this prevailing, this conquering, this win of our people. Did not the scriptures teach us that as a prince, power with Elohim and man has prevailed? And we didn't just prevail during the time of Esther, during the time of Yosef, during the time of Moses, another time that the nation had thought to destroy our people. Let me show you in the book of Daniel, the the first chapter. All through the scriptures. And I may add, they also kept the law. Daniel, the first chapter, the very first verse. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, King Yehuda, King Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon to Jerusalem and besieged it. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, King of Yehuda, into his hand with part of the vassals of the house of Elohim, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his deity. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his deity. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish. What year was it? In the 2 years. Well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding signs, such as had the ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof that they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave to Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king. So he wasn't none like our brothers today. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And watch this ninth verse, because this is the key. Now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my master, the king who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should you see your face as worse looking than the children which are of all your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel and Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before you, the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter. Prove them 10 days, and at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and finer in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had the understanding in all visions and dreams. So as you see, this is what Yahweh would do at a certain time. And look, we're going into a time where we're looking, searching, watching for this spirit to be manifested so that we can see what Yah will do with us. But do you honestly believe that it will be in someone that is not of the 12 tribes of Israel? And do you also believe it will be someone who refused to acknowledge, to uphold their family name? This is where the blessing lies, in the name, where the spirit come from, in the name. And that one whom has the spirit of Elohim will represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, watch this in the book of Isaiah 42. The judgment of 12. How can you mention 12 without mentioning the 12 tribes of Israel? Isaiah 42, the very first verse. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. And we know who that is, Israel. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. That's what we're looking for. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and I'll shall wait for his law. Thus says Elohim Yahweh, he that created the heavens, stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. To do what, Yahweh? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Yes, this is what Yahweh will do. And watch what it says in the 16th verse. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. They didn't even know this way. But that's how he's going to bring you. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. You didn't even know this. And I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, forsake them. Now do you see why we look for one that has the spirit of Elohim, a man that is wise and discreet and wise, as Yosef was, as Moses was, as Daniel was? Who do you think, and what did they all represent, and what did they all come from? The 12 tribes of Israel. And what gave them the power and the blessing that they will walk therein. That great, beautiful, blessed name. That means, as a prince, thou hast power with Elohim and man, and has prevailed. Watch what it says. 18 verse. Hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent. Blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Yahweh's servant. See many things, but you observe not. Opening the ears, but he hears not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And who in the world do you think he will do that with? What instrument do you think he will use? It was Yahweh who said. He poured his spirit upon his seed. His blessing upon his offspring. What is this? What is this blessing? The surname of Israel. And who is Israel? The only family that Yahweh has known. And what is this family? The 12 tribes of Israel. The judgment of 12, part 2. So until tomorrow, as we celebrate this 12th month, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Seven seas, kept it. captivity is taking hold upon me. Don't frighten me and now we flee from falling leaves. The blood and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root were a prey and pursuit. Rebellious of the Son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.